Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the latest episode of the Crypto Savvy, the Essentials podcast brought to you by Hashkey Group. Today, I'm joined by Lesia Marchenko, Vice President of JKL Capital, as well as Ian Lam, who is the co-founder of Satori Research. Thank you so much for joining on the podcast. It's great to have you guys.
Thanks, Jason.
Thank you.
Now, fast forward to 2022. Let's not avoid the elephant in the room. FTX happened, and this is actually the first episode that we are recording with on the Crypto Savvy podcast since the implosion of FTX. If you haven't heard of FTX, basically it is one of the largest cryptocurrency exchange. I think it was last month around this time they filed for bankruptcy, and then a series of contagion happened in the industry where you see lots of centralized platforms just kind of, you know, had their own liquidity troubles, etc. You can all read it in the news. We wouldn't discuss it in detail here because, you know, there's been so many discussions that has happened on YouTube, on Twitter, etc. But I do want to ask both of you guys, seeing everything that unfolded, what is your biggest takeaway or lesson learned from what had happened with FTX? What are some of the long-term implications you think this might bring to the crypto industry? Lesia.
Jason, thank you so much for the question. It is indeed an elephant in the room, and I don't think anyone, at least from our counterparties, was really expecting this to happen. I remember we were having calls with a lot of our providers on the OTC side, a lot of big, large market makers, large exchanges. And what we were hearing around August, September time, that we have probably, that the phrase was, we have probably already seen the worst of it. So there was Terra Luna first, then there was Celsius, then there was a lot of turbulence in the market, 3AC, all the smaller players announced they filing for bankruptcy and freezing withdrawals. And at that point, the feeling, the sentiment was that we have hit the rock bottom. And then it came by, obviously, as a big surprise that FTX was in itself also a spin-off, also a consequence dating back to Terra Luna crash. The scary question now is whether 6 months down the road, we will also see implications of FTX crackdown, as we have seen it happen now. To be honest, it is hard to foresee a bull run ahead in the next few months. I think the big catalyst for the next bull run will be macro. Slowing down the hiking cycle, Fed pivoting might be the big catalyst for the market recovery. At the same time, regardless of the contagion, regardless of the events, the Black Swan events that we have seen this year, if we go back to 2017, I remember when CME launched their Bitcoin futures in 2017, it was seen as a landmark event. It was seen as a complete TradFi accepting crypto and as a large milestone for the whole industry. Now, fast forward to this year, there has been a lot of announcements that have completely gone off behind the radar. And news headlines that have been completely overseen because of the events, because of the louder crashes. So, for example, Citadel has partnered with one of the HFT market makers to provide, to build a crypto trading exchange. We have seen news headlines recently of Goldman Sachs picking up, looking at M&A activity in the crypto space, picking up distressed crypto firms. We have seen KKR that have tokenized the part of their $4 billion healthcare fund to benefit from fractionalization and to unlock the liquidity for that fund. We have seen Israel looking to tokenize a government bond and distribute it via blockchain. So, and there has been 10 other headlines that would have made history back two, three years ago. And this year, they have been completely overlooked. There is a certain rule in crypto, and it also applies to traditional finance. In a bull market, even negative news come across as positive. And in a bear market, even positive news are being overshadowed and taken as negative. So I wouldn't be as, I don't think this year, 2022, has been that black and white. I think there has been a lot of volatility, but it's also positive volatility because it's shaken. It's showed which players are good players, which players are bad players. It's shaken out a lot of bad players. And it's given regulators a large set of data to work with and to improve in future. And I'm sure we're going to reach the topic of regulation further in this discussion.
Yeah, now Ian, now one of the biggest criticisms that I've seen circling around is that crypto has developed a habit of building founders into idols for people to lionize. And that kind of, people are saying that that kind of goes against the ideals of Web3, you know, being decentralization, anonymity, etc., from the ideals of Bitcoin. Now, as a founder or as a co-founder of a company yourself, what is your take to this? Do you think there's been this trend where crypto founders are really being idolized as, you know, these saviors, and that kind of overshadows the fact that companies just continue, keep building, keep doing what they do?
I do. Actually, I'm totally against of idolizing founders. To be honest, like the take from the whole ethics implosion, right? Everybody was talking about, okay, diversification, not your key, not your crypto. A lot of measures that the public should take to avoid being burnt in such kind of incidents. In terms of, you know, like when you talk about like, do I see a trend in the crypto industry about like focusing on like a personal, you know, image in terms of the investment, etc. We see a lot of, you know, VCs, we see a lot of retail investors. They only buy a token because they see certain logos. So, for example, okay, Sam invested in Solana. A lot of people think, okay, that's going to be a very good project. So they rush into it. So I think like in the crypto industry, we have this DYOR, right? Do your own research. You need to be responsible for your own investment decision. That is exactly, I think, like that is not a very good atmosphere where people idolizing a certain person, because you can never rely on expert, you can never rely on a single person on your own action. You should have your, you know, your own decision making in terms of investment, in terms of like where you put your crypto assets, etc. And if I want to talk about, you know, about a little bit on the whole tech of the implosion, right? What we see in the trend is actually, you know, public are coming together. They have been monitoring different corporations, different exchanges, how they operate. There are very talented people online that you can see, like in Twitter, there are lots of information. They check on-chain data, they check the wallet balance, whether, okay, certain exchange have it as a reserve, and they also check whale transaction activities. I think it is kind of a, how do I put it? It's an improvement that show that, okay, the knowledge of the public is increasing. I hope that kind of activity can go on. And so like people can get more educated on blockchain, on how they can operate in the digital asset space.
Lesia, speaking of regulation, you know, let's dive into it, because that's also one of our primary discussion topics today. And there's been lots of noise from the DeFi community. You know, people are saying that this is a victory, that what happened with FTX is considered a victory lap for these DeFi advocates, and that, you know, centralized exchanges is not the way to go. Now, I want to pick your brains a bit on this. Where do you see the role of centralized exchanges playing in the crypto space? Do you think they are necessary and essential for the space to thrive? And where do you see kind of like the coexistence between CeFi and DeFi players in the market after the FTX incident?
Sure, sure. I think the question between CeFi or DeFi is, who do you trust to keep your tokens? Do you trust a smart contract more than you trust a centralized party? Or do you want to go more a traditional framework where you have a vault in a bank that keeps your tokens, that keeps your wealth? I think it depends. It's very individual. It depends on the type of investors. So crypto native hedge funds, crypto native firms that we're talking to feel comfortable using DeFi, feel comfortable using Uniswap or other solutions. More institutional funds used to trade and keep trading on centralized exchanges. Now, the problem with centralized exchanges right now, the problem or an opportunity, depending, again, how you frame it, is that Binance is now taking over 70% of market share. And when you speak about other exchanges, there's some liquidity on, like, speaking on of derivatives, there's some liquidity on OKX, on Deribit, but the volume is not substantial and liquidity is not always there. So realistically, people can be trading, the 70% of market share is on Binance. Another venue to go through is OTC desks. So definitely for larger size volumes, going through OTC desks would be another option. And then finally, what has been quite exciting coming out of the whole market turbulence is that CME has a record month in terms of trading volume. So futures on CME has seen, I think, a 45.6% increase in this month following the FTX crisis month on month. So there is a regulated marketplace. There is also downsides of that regulated marketplace. Like, for example, it doesn't trade 24/7 like crypto does. But again, depending on the risk appetite of every trader, every investor, there are options to go through. In terms of DeFi, where DeFi gets to play in it, I think the overall market will need more regulation, will need more transparency. There is higher demand for third-party clearing solutions, for regulated custodials. The large elephant in the room in this space is offsetting long-term liability, short-term liabilities with long-term assets. So I think in terms of regulations entering the market, probably asset liability management will be the first aspect of to be taken under scrutiny by regulators. And then obviously transparency, which is already inherent in blockchain. Like Ian mentioned, people, retail people, social media users already have access to this data. So I think the one, if not a catalyst for the next bull run, then a large developing trend of the next year and the year after that will be developed.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
developing data aggregators to track on-chain data within blockchain. There are, Nansen is looking to do quite high-quality databases. There are a few projects, the Thai, Amber was working on that as well. But I think that is something that I have actually spoken to Bloomberg team. Bloomberg is looking also to deploy higher quality on-chain data on cryptocurrencies. I think it's going to be a huge development we will see next year.
Yeah, and Ian, you, Satori Research is a trading firm. So obviously you work very closely with centralized exchanges around the world. After what happened with FTX, which is a centralized exchange yourself, you know, where do you see the future of centralized exchanges going forward? And what is your take on the DeFi versus CeFi narrative that has been circulating around?
Binance having a very high market dominance is never a good thing for us. We as an arbitrage firm, we always look for price discrepancy in different venues. I think Caesar has mentioned something like he doesn't think that centralized exchange is going to be exist in the next 10 years. In 10 years' time, I think there will be some kind of reform. I've already been hearing the stories about, centralized platform, they try to build a decentralized exchange, but it's a regulated one. To be honest, from a trading firm perspective, from a person that is really enthusiastic on blockchain, I think there is always going to be trade-off on regulations against growth. The reality, everybody knows that it has happened in a way that for the last 10 years, I think crypto industry has grown exponentially because there's limited constraints. But the question here, right, is whether DeFi should be regulated. I think it should be regulated in some sense, but how do we do it? And I think I can give a little bit more examples and references. I think the problem here is about the enforcement. We understand, you can have the perfect framework, legal framework, regulation framework in the world at certain point of time. But we know for a fact that, crypto industry is always going to grow faster than how legislation is going to work. It takes so much time to understand the industry. You talk to industry experts, understand the practice to come up with laws and pass the bills. I think what the government can do is, which I see them doing a lot already, is working very hard with industry players to provide feedback and keep on trying to recruit talent in the blockchain field to help to regulate the industry. So I think in CeFi, most likely there will be some kind of reform that they will implement certain elements using, smart contract. In terms of DeFi, the only thing, why do we need regulation in the first place? I think it's we are trying to protect customers, right? If you can remain a synonymous way, but still regulate in a certain way, for example, a certain smart contract, you need to be disclosed to the public. It needs to be open sourced. You need a individual party or like a decentralized party to have code audit, things like that. And then I think the Web3 crowd, the more degenerate crowd, right, would accept that kind of enforcement from a centralized body. But if we are talking about, you have to disclose everything, you have to do a full KYC, full AML, then that would be a problem. But I think AML is important, but in a way that, the privacy is being protected. So that's what I think.
Yeah, and I think, regulation might be necessary, and especially, legal frameworks to protect users. And I think in the end, it's all about investor and client asset protection. But at the same time, it's better not to have regulations stifle or forestall innovation. We should still allow projects to thrive reasonably. Now, Lesia, obviously you've worked in the banking sector for quite a while, and the traditional finance space is highly regulated, as we all know. Now, for crypto, where do we draw a line in terms of regulation, from your perspective?
Yeah, that's a good point to cover. And I think I think I'm just going to stick with what I said before. I think every aspect of crypto finance is going to find a way to some particular aspects to blockchain of DeFi to deploy. I'm sure that there will be a merge of TradFi and DeFi. We have seen last year, again, something that will go down in crypto history books when Societe Generale tokenized their first bond and refinanced with the MakerDAO stablecoin. So I think, again, traditional finance will find some aspects of blockchain, of cryptocurrency space that it likes, that it wants to stick with, and that falls under the general framework of banking regulation, Dodd-Frank Act, does not contradict any asset liability management regulations, any requirements for capital within the banking system. On the side of cryptocurrencies and blockchain, I think it's going to become way more transparent, not necessarily through regulation, though, but like we mentioned before, with cryptocurrency being fully transparent, being an on-chain decentralized ledger where every transaction is visible and open source. I think just the players within the crypto space, as we have more data, as we have more sources to analyze that data, I think the crypto users are going to be the ones who will enforce this regulation without even any regulatory bodies entering the space. So we have seen that the first reaction of retail users after FTX was the proof of reserves initiative. And I think these initiatives are only going to further develop and thrive naturally within the space. When talking about government regulations, I think they're going to be directed more at blockchain parts of traditional finance. So as more and more traditional finance institutions enter the blockchain space and enter cryptocurrency space, those aspects will be more regulated. And then those institutional investors that have some kind of compliance restrictions or requirements, they would go and invest into the space through those channels. I like to think that part of the crypto space is going to remain regulated, but more like self-regulated through DAOs, through other aspects of self-regulation, and then retail clients will make sure that they find ways to protect themselves.
Now, before we end our discussion, guys, it's that time of the year again where we make year-end predictions for the next year. Now, let's start with you, Ian. Can you give us some of your insights on, you know, one prediction for the crypto market in 2023?
So one prediction, right? So actually, yeah. I'm a little bit more optimistic. It always repeats itself, right? We always see another bull market when the big corporation fall down. Back in 2008, Lehman Brothers goes down. Currently, we have FTX. We have three, actually. We have three arrows. We have FTX. You know, we have Luna goes down. I think we will start to see more momentum in 2023. I personally think Bitcoin will be much higher than currently in next year.
So are you saying 2023 bull market returns?
Not necessarily a bull market, but I think we are very close to the low currently.
Okay, yeah. Perfect. And Lesia, what say you?
I completely agree that we're at the low. There is a lot of on-chain signals that are signaling very bottom signals and only upside from here. So my biggest prediction is that correlations will continue into the beginning of 2023, and we will see a bull market only if macro picks up. So macro, in my opinion, will be a big factor impacting the next bull run. In terms of predictions of how the space will develop, I think tokenization is a huge opportunity, if not something that will boost the next bull cycle. There is, other than going and trying to engage new users, new capital to enter the space, why not unlock liquidity, which is locked currently amongst existing users? So one of the early stage projects we're currently incubating in JKL is a liquidity providing platform for Web3. And the idea is that a lot of token holders, NFT holders, are locked with assets that have financial assets that have a value assigned to them that are tradable. They're being locked because the liquidity is so low, because there is no opportunity to refinance these assets. So I think tokenizing assets, and when I say tokenizing assets, it's not necessarily profile picture NFTs. It can be anything. It can be anything starting with real-life financial assets, tokenizing bonds, tokenizing equities. It can be tokenization of real estate, of real-life assets. It can be tokenization of plane tickets. Literally, the space is unlimited. If you can manage to design a framework of assigning a risk, assessing a risk of that tokenized assets, it will be possible to unlock a huge amount of currently strained liquidity in the space, which might in future boost the next bull cycle. We know that there was the DeFi summer. We know that we had the last bull run was massively fueled by GameFi and NFTs. There will be a development in crypto and blockchain industry that will boost the next bull run. And then finally, I would say data. Like I mentioned before, I think data is going to become much higher quality. Within JKL, we have a data science team. They're constantly working with big data providers to clean the data, to try and find better performing AI models for quant trading strategies. So I think this space is going to be the one developing. So I think tokenization data in terms of blockchain space development for us to see the next bull run. Let's hope that macro is going to improve next year.
Oh, fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Lesia, and thank you so much, Ian, for this wonderful discussion. We've talked a lot about regulation. We talked about the implications of FTX, and I hope the crypto savvy listeners can know more about DeFi, CeFi narrative and regulation framework here in Hong Kong. Now, if you guys are watching this on YouTube, feel free to give a like. And if you guys are listening on Apple or Spotify, please give us a rating as well. We would appreciate that. Well, thank you again for joining us on Crypto Savvy. And thank you again, Lesia and Ian. We'll see you guys next time.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.